All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio. This is Veterans Radio. And now, your hosts for today's program, Dale Thronberry and Bob Gould.
And Jim Falzone. We didn't have a triple intro. Welcome to Veterans Radio, and we want to wish everybody thank you so very much for being on our lists for everything and listening to us over the last 15 years. This is our anniversary show, and we are just excited to still be here. But when we started in 2003, we never imagined that we'd be able to keep this program going for 15 years, and we couldn't do it without our sponsors, and I want to make sure I get those in before everything starts. We want to make sure we thank Legal Help for Veterans, American House of Hanoi in Westland, Michigan, Bob Gillette, who's our hero and savior sometimes, Vietnam Veterans Post 310 of Ann Arbor, Michigan, the Charlie Kettles chapter, VFW Post 423 of Ann Arbor, that's the Graft O'Hara VFW Post 423, and our newest supporting group is the American Legion Post 46, the Erwin Prescorn Post. Erwin Prescorn died in World War One in 1918, so I'm going to make sure I get those out there. Joining me in the studio today is my good friend and co-host, Bob Gould. Bob?
Dale, I want to thank you very much for the past. You know what? I've had a couple of marriages, and that doesn't even come together. Put them all together for the number of years that Dale and I have been together. You know that? And I want to say I have looked across at that continent now for a lot of programs, and we have, well, we've really stretched a few. And I think the most important thing, that you and I have worked together, and we've got that synergy, that comes across the air. I want to thank you very much, man.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's always been a pleasure working with you. Well, I can't say it's always been a pleasure, but it's always been fun and exciting and interesting. That's for darn sure.
Well, one of the questions we get, and you can answer this one, Dale, is where did we get the theme music from? That's very important.
Oh,
it was your son.
Actually, yeah, once my son played that music at a concert, and I heard it, and I said, I got to have this, and right now it's at the, I can't think of it, but I will get it for our audience before the end of the program.
How's okay.
That? All right.
I know, but I'll wait.
I know. You blindsided me there. And also, our newest member of our team is Jim Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans, and also a Coast Guard veteran, or actually Merchant Marine. But you did
get
the
closer. You're getting closer.
You're kind of mixed in there. I know that.
Noah Corps.
He was there. I mean, out in the ocean, sea, yeah, rocking back and forth.
So I've only been, I think, on doing this with you guys for, I know, 5 years or so as a host, and I don't know, a number of years in front of that as a sponsor.
Right.
So have not had to look at both of you for 15 years, and it's more longevity than we need, so.
But we look a lot better now than we did. I like to think that. But anyway, Jim, thank you for joining us as a host. It's as many of you know out there, as Bob was kidding, we've produced about almost 800 programs over that 15 years. And it's a lot of work. We couldn't have done it without two of our former partners, and I want to get them in there right away. Number one is Ken Rogge, who was an Air Force and Army veteran and an Armed Forces radio veteran during the Vietnam era. He was stationed in Thailand, and he was a good friend, and he got us going. And Ken is in Germany today, so otherwise we would have talked to him on the phone. The other one who is not here any longer is our dear friend CB Gary Lilly, as a CB can do. And Gary, unfortunately, was killed by a drunk driver. Oh, wow. 5 years ago now?
Six
years ago. And whenever we do a program, as many of you out there know, we have a little guy sitting on our shoulder, and that's Gary Lilly. And he goes, is this a good program, Gary, or a bad program? And he gives us the sign, either, the sun comes out or the lightning hits, near where I'm standing, and I know that that's not a good one. So we just want to make sure that we get that out there. By the way, any of you out there that are listening today, feel free to give us a call. The local number is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. 800-822-1600. And, Bob, you've got the first guest lined up and ready to go.
Oh, I do, and I'm so happy to introduce. But let me give you just a little bit of a background how this all came to be. Dr. Rebecca Grant, our next guest, was her name was given to me and all the contact information a few years ago, like about 8 or 10. And during that time, I was privileged to be the host. And I was talking to Dr. Grant off mic before we were on the air. It happened to be a beautiful spring day. So I said, how was Washington? She says, well, I was out riding my bike. I said, me too. I had my Schwinn 10 speed. Dr. Grant, you're going to have to clear this up because she said I got 450 Kawasaki, something like that. And I think there's a big difference. Dr. Grant, welcome to Veterans Radio. Tell us all about that.
Bob, Dale, Jim, hello and congratulations. It was a Kawasaki 454 LTD street bike, predecessor of the Vulcan. Great bike. I could put my feet down easily, and boy, did she have some zip. That's right. Those were the days.
Are you not still riding?
I do still ride, but now I have another love, and that is my thoroughbred horse.
Oh, so, not quite as fast.
Right, and well, in his own mind, he is.
That's true. Probably as exciting, though.
He can jump a little bit higher. But I want to congratulate the three of you on 800 programs, 15 years, and I remember the first program I did with you was on the Admiral Yamamoto shootdown. It was several years ago. That occurred, of course, April 18th, 1943. A great look back at one of the significant moments of World War II in the Pacific. And it's been wonderful talking with you ever since.
Well, it has been our pleasure to talk with you as well.
Jim?
No, I just want to say that every time we get Dr. Grant on, we got to get an update on China, and we want to make sure that the Chinese are going to leave us alone here so we can get through Thanksgiving.
We should be good with Thanksgiving, but we are in a major reset of our economic and our military relations with China. China just had a big air show that they do about every 2 years, showed off lots of missiles and planes and things, and of course we know that we're in the process of dealing with tariffs and what trade will look like going forward. So China is the overriding international security issue of today and the next year and the next 5 years and 10 years. So there will be a lot going on, but I think we're on a good track. Our forces out in the Pacific, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines are ready anytime, and they are there holding the line, hopefully to deter and balance China going forward.
Well, boy, I couldn't have said it any better, folks. Dr. Grant, this is Bob Gould. I'm not saying goodbye for the whole group, but I'm saying for myself, thank you very much. And I look forward to talking to you because you always set the standard each year in our first program. So please come on back. Dale?
Yep. I just wanted to remind everybody that Dr. Grant has been on our program a number of times. We've been very fortunate to have her expertise. And you can go to veteransradio.net and just type in her name in a search engine, and they'll all come up. And as Bob mentioned, we're hoping that you will come on in January and fill us in as to what we can expect next year.
I'm looking forward to January 2019 and talking with you, and congratulations again. Wonderful program that touches on the heritage and the current events, and I'm honored to be a part of it. Thank you.
Well, we are honored to have you as a part of it. Thank you very much. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
And to you.
Okay. There you go, Bob.
Well, there's a good example, right, why Veterans Radio has been on the air for 15 years, because we've been bringing to our listeners experts in their field with current information about what's going on in the future, as well as those folks that we talk to as we look back and look at military history and stories that are still relevant and ripple through today. But Dr. Grant's a great example of it.
We were covering North Korea way before all that, all those shenanigans were stopping over there, and that was Dr. Grant setting the pace and telling us all about the Chinese maybe intervention, no intervention, Americans, North Korea. So we have been on top of that story, and I want to say that about Veterans Radio. We have scooped a number of stories. What was that other scoop we had? Oh, yeah, it was that something was coming. The movie.
Which movie?
It was the Clint Eastwood movie. We heard about it, The Scoop. Gary knew it. The one on Iwo Jima.
Oh, okay.
Didn't we have Clint Eastwood on?
No, this is the problem when you have 800 shows.
I know.
You have to remember them all.
Well, we had John Voight on.
Yeah, well, you did have John Voight. He was he had to hide from his wife because he was too loud.
Can I get that?
Yeah,
you can
tell the quick story.
Gary, yes, great. Folks, this is radio, and we had no delay. So whatever went out over the air, that was it, okay? And it was in cement. Well, anyway, Gary was the host. I was working on the board, and we were interviewing John Voight. It was 6 o'clock. Pacific at the Coronado Hotel in San Diego, California. He gets on the line. He's going to give us an exclusive interview, and we couldn't hear him. I'm potting everything up. I'm pushing everything. I'm turning knobs, nothing. First break comes up, and I said, Mr. Voight, John, you have to speak louder. And he said, I can't. My old lady's next to me. He was in bed with his wife taking the interview. And we had like about 10 seconds to go. We're coming out of break, so he goes in the bathroom. John Voight finished the interview. You can get this, folks. You can go on our archives. Finish the interview from the bathroom, Coronado Hotel, 0600 hours. Isn't that a great story? His old lady's next to him.
I think he was, John Voight is a very active veterans advocate. And so that was the purpose of the interview. And again, that's somebody else's. You know, you mentioned Rebecca Grant, and you know, we just talked to her. We also have our other expert is Bing West, who is well known in the veterans field as for his stories and books around Afghanistan and Iraq. He wrote the book about insurgent warfare in Vietnam, which is still a handbook today for the special forces. Joining us in the studio is another good friend of Veterans Radio, and this is my boing. All right, well, welcome to live radio, folks.
Yeah.
Anyway, Captain Kate Melcher, helicopter pilot supreme, and a good friend of Veterans Radio and of mine, but she also represents Fisher House of Michigan, and we've been working like crazy raising money for that. So, Kate, I want to welcome you back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back. And before I dive right into Fisher House, I want to congratulate the three of you on 15 years of Veterans Radio. And, you know, I did the math, and you all started this back in 2003, which is 2 years before I enlisted. And I don't say that to make anybody feel old. I say that because it's a testament to the cross-generational appeal of Veterans Radio. So my generation of vets, you know, my brothers and sisters that went downrange to Iraq and Afghanistan, when they came back, they needed the same kinds of things that you all needed when you came back. Mm-hmm. So Veterans Radio, at least for my generation, it's a place to heal. It's a place to learn more about our history. And it's a place to find help for resources. Veterans coming back to the state of Michigan don't always know where to go, where to turn, how to access the care that they've earned at the VA. And you can learn a lot just by listening to your programs. So I appreciate all of that.
Well, thank you very much. And also, we want you to give a plug for Fisher House. How's that going?
It's going extremely well. Those loyal listeners of the program know that we are raising $20 million to build Fisher Houses in the state of Michigan. Houses have been approved for Ann Arbor and Detroit. And to date, we've raised over $4 million. We are
great.
So excited.
That is great. And is there still time for the matching donations by chance?
There is. The Patriots Pledge match was only supposed to go from 9/11 to 11/11, but our generous match challengers have extended that through the end of the year.
Okay.
So they put up $500,000, and so far you all have responded with $360,000. So there's still another $140,000 available to be matched, and so long as you have a check dated before 12/31 this year, it will be matched. Dollar for dollar, so we'll have $1 million match.
Okay,
fall.
And so where do we go to make that donation?
www.fisherhousemichigan.org, all one word, all spelled out. There's no C in Fisher.
You are correct. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Bob, did you want to say something?
No, I was just going to say, what's it like flying one of those big machines? You're an Apache, right?
Yes, sir. The first time, it's absolutely terrifying. And before long, it almost becomes part of your body. It becomes, you know, another appendage. You literally put it on like a uniform, and it flies with you.
Okay. All right. Well, it's like a car. You get the feel of your car. You got the feel of your machine. Did you have the same machine all the time? It was your machine. It was.
No.
Did it have a name? Did your machine have a name?
Yes, she was the AH-64D Apache Longbow.
That's a good name, folks.
Serial number is always on.
Yeah, everybody repeat that one. Okay. No, but was that discouraged? I mean, you know, we see all that nose art. Was that part of it, or no, you couldn't do that?
Well, my unit actually got into a little bit of trouble because we went outside the box on nose art a little bit. And so some of our aircraft actually looked like fire-breathing dragons. They were really incredible.
Those are cool.
Yes.
You know,
Yes.
Yeah, our gunships always have scary faces on the front of them and so forth. So, you know, if you're diving down on someone, hopefully, you know, you're going to scare them, first of all, and then maybe they'll be paralyzed just standing there, and then you could just obliterate the enemy.
When you're flying this, and I think a lot of folks would like to know, what kind of resistance do you get on the stick? Was it a stick or a wheel? It's a stick.
It was a stick. There's a cyclic and a collective. So the cyclic will give you directional control, and your collective is your up-down stick. And
I mean, you got to pull hard, or?
No. In fact, the error that most new pilots make is over-controlling the aircraft. So if you look at brand new pilots in, you know, initial entry rotor wing, it looks like they're wrestling a squirrel inside the cockpit. It's ridiculous. And all of a sudden, it'll sit completely still, and you know that the instructor pilot has taken the controls.
Again, yeah, I liken that to a square dance. You know, one of those things. Helicopters were going all over the training field, up, down. Some were spinning,
yep,
and all kinds of different things until you finally got a hold of it. The only time you don't want to have a lot of resistance, because that normally means that you have a hydraulic failure, which is not good.
Right.
Well, one of the crew chief that we had on the program, Dale, the slick, they called it a Jesus nut. Did you have one of those on your on your machine? No, did this go from generation to generation?
It did, mm-hmm. Although...
did they call it that?
Yes, although our aircraft had a fully articulated rotor system, so it was a little bit more advanced. It wasn't the...
If it comes off, you're dead. It didn't do that, right?
I think it was much more of a problem in the Hueys and the older aircraft.
They didn't normally come off.
This was this huge, huge nut that was on the rotor.
That's at the top of the mast.
It kept the blade on.
It was holding, but I only had two blades. You had four blades, and the articulated helicopter, I mean, she could do rolls and barrel rolls and go upside down and all kinds of
stuff. Did you do that? Did you do a barrel roll?
Officially?
How much time do you have left in reserves? I think we've heard that one before. We never did a barrel roll. That's been out for 50 years because it was impossible. But anyway, thank you, Kate,
very much for being
on the program, and we look forward. We've got some great story ideas from you. We're going to be talking a lot more with Kate in the future about women pilots, not only helicopter pilots, jet pilots, whatever kind of pilots you want. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
We will see you again.
Thank you.
All right. So, Jim, you were writing like crazy. What are you writing there?
Well, I think one of the things that Kate mentioned is how Veterans Radio goes through the decades and different veterans of different eras. And I think that's one of the things, again, that adds to the longevity of Veterans Radio is we're trying to tell stories that have, I often refer to them as pearls of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Something one generation of veterans has learned that they can pass along to the next. So we don't have to make the same mistakes. We're going to make new mistakes, but we shouldn't make the same mistakes. And I think that's often a part of what you can pull out of our Veteran Radio's interviews is sort of that some nugget of information that's relevant to you, even though that veteran may be from a different era, but you can latch onto that and it helps you move forward.
I think one of the things that I'd like to mention is the fact that our listenership. We have a core listenership, folks. I'd like to call them opinion leaders. They're part of that 2%, 1% of the population. They listen to the information, they read the articles, they read the newspapers, and then they go and they pass it on to somebody else. And like Jim was saying, when we do say things and have things that are presented here that are really cool, it's great to know that somebody will pass that on to someone else. I mean, we are the conduit. Oh, God, I love that. That's
well,
really
neat. I think
I heard that on Veterans Radio.
Well, we do hear a lot of people say that they heard that on Veterans Radio, and we are really lucky, I think, that there are many more veteran-oriented radio programs, podcasting, and so forth that are out on the internet that weren't there 15 years ago. And, we're very pleased that people want to, if they want to copy the format, whatever it is, just to get the information out to people, the stories out to people. We have been involved with a number of organizations here locally. Kate was involved with a buddy-to-buddy system where Vietnam veterans are mentoring the veterans that are coming home from Iraq, Afghanistan, and wherever. And so, one of the issues that the Vietnam veteran had was that they were kind of shunned by, not just the popular population, but also by the military population. And so we wanted to make sure that never happened again. In fact, we did a program. Here's another plug for another program. We did one for, it was called Mates for Mates. And this was for the program that's in Australia for veterans that are mentoring the veterans that, the Australians have coming back from all of these conflicts. So this is what we try to do, folks. And we want to hear from you if you can. We've got some other guests that will be coming on during the second half of the program. But the number is 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600.
I want to take this time to pass on honor and the best of health and thank you. He was our first guest, and that was Congressman John Dingell.
Oh, yes, you were.
A Navy vet, also serving, 50 years? 5,000 years. And did everything he could, every opportunity, to promote veterans, and I want to mention it. And yes, and he's recovering, so he slipped and fell, I think, about 2 months ago, but he's back.
That happens. We do have.
And he's very strong.
I know. We do have a sad note, though, Bob. I wanted you to mention. For many of you who pass through Detroit Metro Airport, there's a Freedom Center there where if you're a veteran, you can go hang out there, and they've got internet access, and they have snacks and drinks and so forth, and very comfortable chairs for those long layovers. But one of the people that ran the whole program, unfortunately, passed away recently.
Well, the Freedom Center is interesting because there's no thank you. There's no USO, that's it, in
right.
Detroit.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Right.
And they see 90,000 a year, 90,000. And this gentleman, Tim Workus, he passed away last week. He was involved with the Freedom Center since its beginning in the year 2011. He was widely known in the military and veteran circles throughout southeastern Michigan. He volunteered through his volunteerism, his fundraising, his great ability to connect the troops with their available resources. It is popular, here we go, vets, events, and announcements. I'm going to miss that. It was really cool that
was that every week or once a month he sent out a list of every event in the history of the area, and it was.
I mean, he would find, there's a place where veterans can get discounts on tickets for sporting events and, mm-hmm. and concerts. I didn't know. He was finding all these. So anyway, Tim, God bless you, and you really did us a service. You're going to be missed.
We're going to be missed. I'm hoping that somebody will step in.
We should talk, again, this is something that Veteran Radio is able to do, and that is promote veteran-centric organizations. Mm-hmm. And Freedom Center is a good example of them. VetTix is a good example mm-hmm. of them. Veterans Matter is a good example of them. And at Freedom Center, it's all – there's no government money. It's all private donation. Mm-hmm. Delta Airlines was the – sort of original big donor there, but they've got loads of them. And you can go online and look up Freedom Center. It's probably freedomcenter.org. I don't really know that for sure. And help donate or volunteer. But many of the organizations that we talk about in Veterans Radio in the locale or around the country, need your support. Mm-hmm. Many of them are operating on a shoestring, sort of like we do, and you need people who are passionate about helping veterans and giving back, and I think we do, you guys have done a great job highlighting those kind of companies.
90,000 a year they see. 90,000 at the train.
Fantastic. Well, when we think of all the different organizations that we've promoted on here that people have never heard of, I mean, the therapy horses, the dogs, the Michigan War Dog Memorial, all of these things is what we try to do. And so we encourage you in the audience, if you have a veteran-centric organization that you want to get the word out, let us know. We'll be more than happy to do it for you, not only on our website, but also on our Facebook, Twitter, and all the other things. And by the way, before we take a quick break, I want to make sure that I get this out. I want to wish Tammy Bethune a happy birthday today. Tammy is our social media expert extraordinaire.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tammy.
And so we want to wish
Scorpio.
You a very happy birthday. We're going to be taking a quick break. Joe Galloway is going to be our next guest, so stay tuned. Going around the corner. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're celebrating our 15th anniversary of broadcasting all the stories that we can think of about
live.
Veterans to you live. That's very true. 99% of our programs have been live. So we want to welcome you to the program. We want to ask you if you have if you want to call in, please do. The number is 734-822-1600. Before I get to my interview with our interview with Joe Galloway, Bob, you had a little business announcement.
Oh, I do. Well, Walmart, folks, is going to be hiring spouses. That's right. It's called the Military Spouse Career Connection. Is that cool or what? There is a 4% unemployment, unfortunately, for spouses here in America. Unfortunately for spouses, it's up to 80%. And Walmart's going to do something about that. And the reason for part of that is because there's a lot of relocation. Well, Walmart is taking all that into consideration, and their Military Spouse Career Connection. So what do you do? I got it here. Go to the Walmart Careers with a mission.com. Walmart Careers with a mission.com. That is so cool.
It's very cool. The thing is about all of these companies out there that are hiring veterans and having veterans job fairs is just, it's a great opportunity for these young men and women that are coming back, because the transition to civilian life can be a little bit difficult sometimes. But I think the idea of these companies actually wanting them to work for them, they know that veterans are good employees.
Well, I think that we have to keep working on the stigma. And I'm going to say it again, folks, drop the D. There's no disabled. There's no disorder. It's not a disease. It's stress, PTS. Unfortunately, when they use disease and disorder, it paints everybody with a wide brush. And that's just not cool. It's not fair. It's not cool. What's really cool about this particular is that they're hiring the spouses. So
right, they're directing at the spouses, because all these guys are having so many multiple deployments that, whoever's left at home is, where are they going to find a job that, is near Fort, wherever they are, type of thing. Yes?
Can I add one more thing? Yes. Very quickly. 1 minute. Joe, we'll be right back. We'll be right with you. When we had our other screener and we were at DEO, and we got that call with 5 minutes to go from the dog handler. What was it, Afghan or Iraq? The dog handler that called us all the way.
Oh, yeah.
I was hosting. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that? I mean, we're talking about reach. Jim, you were talking about that. Here's somebody, what was it, Afghan or Iraq? I think it was Afghanistan. Because we did the program on dog handlers in South Lyon.
Right.
And he called. And at first I thought she's waving her. No, 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 come on. And sure enough, so we got a call all the way.
Well, now somebody we got a call all the way from, I think he's in Georgia right now. And we want to welcome back to Veterans Radio is author, speaker, well-known among the veterans community, and that's Joe Galloway. Joe, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Well, nice to be with you, and happy 15th anniversary to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I know that you've been very busy, but you could tell our audience what you've been up to lately.
Oh, my God, I've been on the road since forever with the Vietnam War 50th commemoration project that's run by the Office of the Secretary of Defense. They've got me traveling the country doing video interviews with Vietnam veterans all over the place. And I think 4 out of the last 8 weeks I've been in New Bern, North Carolina, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Las Vegas, Nevada, and I just wrapped up 7 days in Huntsville, Alabama, and Redstone Arsenal.
Wow.
So I'm happily at home in North Carolina right now until the end of the year and enjoying a break.
Well, you certainly deserve it, and we want to thank you for taking the time with talking with us today. We're hoping that you come to Michigan sometime.
We're going to do that. We're trying to get everywhere.
All right, well, just let us know what you need, and we'll put together a program. Kate just left, but we could always get you, have the Fisher House bring you up as a guest speaker for them.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. Oh, hold on. Bob had a question.
Oh, yeah, Joe, I do have a question. It just so happened the movie was on last night locally, We Were Soldiers. I'd like to ask you, Joe, what was it like working with Basil Plumlee?
With the real Basil Plumlee?
The real guy.
Who played him, Sam Elliott.
Whoa, that's interesting. Tell us both.
Well, Basil Plumlee, God rest his soul, one of my best friends for a long life, is gone now. He died 6 years ago, and I preached his funeral at Fort Benning, Georgia, where he lived in Columbus in retirement. The sergeant major was a genuine piece of work. I like to tell folks that he was tender as woodpecker lips. And people say, well, how did Sam Elliott play him in the movie? Did he get it right? And I say, well, almost. But Plumlee was a lot tougher than Sam Elliott played him, and Sam played him pretty hard.
We're all writing down, tender as woodpecker lips.
Was he?
Now, I got to tell you something. Now, there's a new movie out about 2 months ago made by Rob Reiner. It's called Shock and Awe, and it's about me and three of my colleagues at Knight Ridder Newspapers, Washington, D.C. Bureau in the year 2002. When the administration was telling a lot of nonsense and lies to drag us into an unnecessary war in Iraq. And we were the only reporters in the country who were challenging those lies and doing the hard reporting to prove that they were lies. And Reiner hired an actor named Tommy Lee Jones to play Joe Galloway.
Now there's a character for you right there, both of you.
There you go. You know, who do you know that Hollywood has had to make two movies about and still ain't done?
I think that is great.
Joe, when you got that assignment for real to be with the colonel, was that your first assignment to go into a hot zone like that?
Oh, no. I had been in Vietnam for 7 months covering the Marines. Mm-hmm. I arrived about 3 months after, 3 weeks after the 1st Battalion of Marines landed in Da Nang in March of 1965. And I made all of their operations during that first 7 months to include a combat amphibious assault landing. And there's not too many people who wear a Marine uniform who've done that these days. So I was no greenhorn when I went into the Iodrang.
That I just want, when you were shooting your, one of the hardest things I had to do was shoot a 45. I noticed you were shooting a 45. Were you actually qualified on that? Could you?
No. I was not shooting a 45. That was Plumlee. I was shooting an M16, and the movie has Plumlee giving me that M16.
Yes.
Not necessary. I brought my own.
Got it. Thank you.
As a journalist, right?
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. As one journalist to another, I want to thank you very much for everything that you've done with Veterans Radio, and it's a pleasure.
Well, thank you guys for telling the stories of veterans, and I heard the little spot on my old friend Sammy Davis.
That was intentional.
I get around to a lot of Medal of Honor events, and I know most of those guys. And there were three of them came out of the Iodrang. Colonel Bruce Snake Crandall, the helicopter commander, and his wingman, Major Ed Too Tall to Fly Freeman, and a wonderful fellow who was a lieutenant back then and retired as a colonel, Joe Marm. And those guys are best friends of mine, and I get to a lot of events where there are dozens more Medal of Honor recipients, and they are, to a man, the most humble of heroes. They've done remarkable, unbelievable things to earn that medal, and yet when you're around them, they're just such classy individuals.
Well, we know that. We've got our own homegrown Medal of Honor recipient here in Charlie Kettles, and he's exactly as you describe.
You know, there's one other guy you need to meet someday and maybe even interview, and that's a Marine named Woody Williams. And Woody is a West Virginian, and he is the last surviving Medal of Honor recipient from the Marine taking of Iwo Jima in World War II. Woody is 95 years old. He's still on the road doing talks at schools and veterans events. And you meet him and you think, well, maybe he's 70 years old or even a little younger, and he's still going strong.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I think we'd be really thrilled on Veterans Radio to get Woody Williams on to help memorialize his story and get it out to a wider audience. So I'm sure Dale will be reaching out to you on that.
He's a good guy.
I'll be in touch on that, Joe, to get the contact information. Again, thank you so very much, Joe Galloway, journalist, war correspondent, been there, done that. I think you're the only journalist that received a Bronze Star for Valor, so thank you for being on our program.
All right. It's good talking with you guys. Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow.
I think one of the things that I get asked a lot on, how do you get your story ideas or how do you get certain guests on, like a Joe Galloway on, and when you have the longevity that Veterans Radio has and the credibility that Veterans Radio has and the prior guests, it's easy to get some bigger names or guys who are reluctant maybe to go on air and talk when you can say, well, take a look at our archives. Take a look at the most recent shows. You'll get comfortable how we're going to do this. We're not playing gotcha TV or radio here.
Right, yeah,
well. We want to tell the real stories from the real guys and gals. And I think that is part of why for 15 years Veterans Radio has survived and thrived. So I just thought I'd pass it along after talking to Joe.
Yes. And Joe mentioned something when the two of you, Dale, were talking. You said something way back when 15 years ago. We want to tell the stories before the historians screw it up.
Well, I don't want to use the screw it up because we've got an author coming on here in a minute.
Listen to that, folks. You're hearing it from the words from those who lived it. Got it?
Right. Yeah, we want to, as often as possible, we want to talk to the veteran themselves. And because, you know, generations are disappearing, not only World War I are all gone. World War II is just about gone. Vietnam is starting to fade into history on its
own.
Korea is the same thing. You know, the forgotten war, I even forgot them right there. I feel badly for those guys. But, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to try and tell those stories. And it's just so important for us, you know, as you mentioned, Jim, that people know us, they trust us, we are as apolitical as we possibly can. We're not doing a hit job on anybody. I mean, we've had people from Daniel Ellsberg on, who was very hesitant to come on the program, to, you know, other people that you know, the other ilk, and we just have them tell their story. It's not our job to editorialize. We just, you know, get it out there and get it on the air.
I would like to think, and you know, folks, you can think of this American Heroes Channel. So
right.
We were on the air almost 10 years when the it was called the History Channel, Military History Channel, changed it to American Heroes Channel because we tell the stories. Is that right? Where do you think they got that from, folks?
I think, though, too, Bob, we're closer to the ground, if you will. We hear from real veterans. And I'll give you an example of this, and you can go to the website of veteransradio.net and click on the podcast. We've been doing interviews on these toxic bases, whether it's Fort McClellan or Pease Air Force Base or Georgia Air Force Base or the burn pit issues or Guam right now with Agent Orange is a big thing. We're talking to the people who served at those bases and talk about environmental issues and contamination concerns well before it becomes popular and it maybe gets the congressional attention it should deserve.
Right.
So, again, I think that's how you build credibility among your audience, as well as bringing them great authors that they may not have otherwise bumped into and be aware of what those authors have written so well.
Well, I think another real quick point is that we tell the story from the ground up. And I think Jim mentioned that, is that we have talked to so many enlisted personnel that wouldn't have the opportunity to get their stories out. And I think that's important. Either whether they're local or your friend out in Oregon, who I know listens to the program.
Tom Grinnell.
And other people that we've talked to, you know, just all over the country. And so it's always an honor for us to be able to tell those stories. It's not that authors mess them up. It's just that they don't have that opportunity to talk to those, you know, to their
The everyday person. And what I also like is that we've been able to bring stories and ideas and programs of it doesn't necessarily always have to do with war. It has to do with just the everyday doing your job in the military. When you're cold, you're tired, you're wet, and you don't know what the heck you're doing there, right?
Right. I'm going to do a quick promo here for an upcoming program with our next guest. And we're going to be doing a program around Christmas, and it's going to be based on a book called Soldiers of a Different Cloth, Notre Dame Chaplains in World War II. And our author is John Wolkowitz. And, John, I'm sorry I wasn't able to get you on with Joe, but we can tell that story right now. So welcome to Veterans Radio, John.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I appreciate the time you give me.
So tell our audience the connection that you have with Joe Galloway just briefly.
I'm sorry. Tell the audience, what was that?
The connection that you would like to have with Joe Galloway.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Well, I've always admired Joe Galloway's book that the film was turned into, you know, We Were Soldiers. And it's one of my favorite movies, actually. And I just like the character of Joe Galloway in the film. And Mel Gibson played guy's name. But anyway, the officer. And the connection is that one of my previous books, called Hell from the Heavens, about a destroyer in World War II that was attacked by 22 kamikazes, It's being turned into a film, and Mel Gibson is going to direct it. They're going to start shooting in the spring in Australia. Mark Wahlberg is starring in it. And so I thought, wow, it would be sort of nice to talk to Joe Galloway and just say, hey, we have a little connection there.
I'll put you in touch with him. How's that?
I'd like that.
I'll have my people contact his people and have them contact you. But
John, I just want to interject. You have three technical advisors here that would just love to be on the set. So,
and if we have to go to Australia, we will.
We're available. Okay.
It's hard to turn down Australian sets.
That's true.
You know, I don't know exactly where it'll be over there, but somewhere on the eastern coastline is what he's looking at. And yeah, you probably have to get in line. I've had that request from a few other people as well.
Probably have to have some money passing hands here somewhere along the line.
But it's been a real thrill to get that going, as is it a big thrill for me to get the Chaplin's book, because those guys just impressed the heck out of me. The courage that they had to do what they did under fire. And as one soldier said, imagine going into battle with nothing but a Bible. Right. It just, their stories were so amazing. I got them from the archives because these chaplains wrote numerous letters back to their superior at Notre Dame. And so all those letters are there, unread by pretty much everyone since they were written. And so I was in heaven, and these guys, some of these chaplains, just wrote the most moving descriptions of what was going on. And then, of course, there was another group that was in prison camp over in the Philippines, so I could get their angle. And it's actually the book, the way I wrote it, is more a history of the entire World War II as seen through their experiences, these chaplains' experiences. So when you read the book, you'll sort of get the story of from Pearl Harbor, because one of the chaplains was present, not at Pearl Harbor, but in the Philippines, you know, at Clark Field. So he was there on the first day of war, and another chaplain was in Japan when the war ended. So I get to tell the story of the war and bring to light these incredible stories of dedicated men who were there.
Well, John, I want to thank you very much for giving us the time and maybe give us a little preview. So this is going to be our program in December, one of our programs in December just before Christmas, and I'll be in touch with you to set that up. But I'm anxious to finish reading the book. I started reading it. It's a great story. It's an emotional story. And it just makes us all aware of what the heck was going on during World War II, because there aren't a lot of them left, and we just got to make sure we keep telling their story. So, John Wolkowitz, thank you very much for being on our program and for writing this book, and I will be in touch with you shortly to talk about our interview.
I appreciate that. I certainly look forward to talking about it.
Thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio.
Hey, thank you, Dale. Have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, we will. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that's another example of the types of stories. I was thinking as he was talking about Father Capon.
Right.
Out of Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, who was
the priest.
Yeah, the priest who's up for the Medal of Honor from Korea.
From Korea. He was. He died in captivity.
Right.
But he administered to the POWs, and he's beatification. I think he's at that level.
Yeah, they're moving him up the
line
to become
the
first
next
Saint
one's going
to
be. I don't know. Well, anyway.
Well, I think it's an example of, and I think Bob, you may have said, we don't just talk about war on Veterans Radio. There's a moral injury component to war, right? Mm-hmm. And we on Veteran Radio have spoken to therapists and chaplains and others who've talked to us about sort of that how do you heal that moral injury of war? So, mm-hmm. I think these sort of books, these sort of interviews help us ground a certain viewpoint of what a just war is and how to move forward. So, again, I think it's part of what we've been able to do on Veterans Radio over many years. One of my favorite interviews that's up on the podcast, if you go look to it, I was looking for the exactly when it was, but I love the title is Jesus Was an Army Ranger. and it goes through how it's written by, obviously, an Army Ranger chaplain, talking about how, you know, Jesus was no wimp, and Army Rangers aren't wimp, and does this whole corollary. So it's really good. I don't want to get too far into it, but it's one of those things I think we've been able to do. We've had interviews with chaplains on how St. Francis of Assisi, who we every Christian religion knows, was a prisoner of war back in his day, and how that status and what he suffered in that ended up causing him to go into the religious direction and found the Franciscans. Very interesting way to think about our saints, right? These holy people we don't think about. The guy was a soldier?
Right.
So a lot of interesting interviews we've had over the years on Veterans Radio.
We all, anybody memorable? Right. I have a couple. Len LaBelle. Who was Len LaBelle? The first one to scale the cliffs at Point du Hoc.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first one. And he also, I think he was from Michigan. And at the anniversary, 30th, 20th, something, he climbed it again with his wife, Len LaBelle.
Really?
Is that something?
I think it's been amazing. We've got a minute left, and we want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today.
Thank you, Mr. Stroberry.
Thank you, Bob.
And Mr. Falso.
thank you, Jim.
Thank everybody out there.
Very much. Thank you for listening. We hope to make it another 15 years. If you've got stories that you want us to share with our audience, please contact us. Go to veteransradio.net, click on the contact thing. We will get back to you. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter.
Support Fisher House.
Make sure you support the Fisher House.
Thank you to Wham.
And
thank you, Theron and Linda.
And lovely Linda, yes,
Linda.
Here on Wham. And we want to thank Derek Stone, of course, who runs our board for us every single week. And I think we're running up on the end here. So until next week, you are dismissed.